More suspicious packages this morning.
This investigation is expanding by the minute.
President Trump makes a vow.
Such conduct must be fiercely opposed and firmly prosecuted.
This year's gains for the Dow, all gone.
You've got a pretty spooky October here.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Zoom Video Conferencing.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Rodriguez. At least 9 suspicious packages, some containing homemade explosive devices, all addressed to prominent critics of President Trump, have now turned up in New York, Washington, Delaware, Florida, and California. The latest discovery at a property owned by an Oscar-winning actor this morning. Correspondent Steve Futterman is in Lower Manhattan.
The package was sent here to Robert De Niro's studio in the Tribeca section of New York City. The packaging was similar to some of the others that have been sent. The return address was listed as Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Those who received the package immediately called 911. The package has now been taken away by police. Presumably, it will be sent to the FBI laboratory in Quantico, Virginia.
A package addressed to Congresswoman Maxine Waters was intercepted at a postal facility in Los Angeles. Workers there are rattled.
A lot scary. Do you know that's our life? We don't know. We could have been blown everybody over in here.
Some of the other packages sent to Hillary Clinton, former President Obama, former Vice President Joe Biden, and CNN. Correspondent Jeff Pegues is following the investigation.
X-ray images show a recovered pipe bomb, one of which law enforcement sources tell CBS News was made from PVC tubing containing explosive pyrotechnic powder and glass to be used as shrapnel. A digital clock connected to a small battery served as a possible triggering device. At least 4 of the packages were sent using manila envelopes with 6 American Flag Forever stamps on each one. They'll now be analyzed at the FBI laboratory in Quantico, Virginia.
As they're gathering this information, all these investigators, how does that information filter up to the top?
What markings are on the outside or on the inside of a piece of end cap to see who's the manufacturer?
Ron Hosko is a former assistant director of the FBI.
What does it say that they didn't explode?
Well, it may say that they were intercepted prior to their ability to explode.
Or
it may say that they were never capable of exploding, even though they may have had black powder in them.
Right now, investigators are working under the assumption that whoever built these suspicious devices tried to keep the weight down so that they could just drop them in a mailbox rather than going to a post office and risking getting caught on surveillance cameras. They believe these devices were functional, but because they did not explode, investigators will be able to deconstruct the devices and then try to trace the components.
CBS News senior national security analyst Fran Townsend joins us. Fran, what are your sources telling you about the sophistication of these devices?
They're using words like crude and low ordnance. Really what that means is it's not that they wouldn't have hurt or maimed someone if it had gone off and detonated. But what it says is more about the bomber himself. This is not a standard recipe, the sort of thing we've talked about before seeing off the internet. This is an individual. It looks as though they're all constructed in a similar or the same way. All the outside packaging is identical. The FBI and the NYPD are looking for, they believe, a single bomber.
Homegrown?
Yeah, there's no indication so far that this has got anything to do with an overseas threat. And I think the operating assumption of the investigators is that it is homegrown.
How long do you think it will take to get to this person or people?
You know, this is not the Unabomber was a single bomb, long time in between bombs, and quite meticulous. This individual's made some real mistakes, right? Envelopes are handled, mailing labels which were typed were then put on with tape. Tape has fingerprints on it. There's a lot of forensic evidence. And as investigators get through that, you would expect this is a days or weeks kind of investigation, not years.
Fran Townsend, counterterrorism advisor for President George W. Bush. The current president addressed the attempted attacks at a campaign rally in the Midwest. CBS's Weijia Jiang was there.
Great country. We're going to get along.
President Trump opened his campaign rally in central Wisconsin by condemning violence.
We want all sides to come together in peace and harmony.
He swapped a fiery stump speech for a softer tone, one even he recognized.
Do you see how nice I'm behaving tonight? This is like, have you ever seen this?
Noticeably missing the president's usual attacks on political opponents, he has lashed out on all the victims who were sent suspicious packages.
Hillary, crooked Hillary.
Good old Maxie, low IQ individual.
Some Wisconsin Trump supporters we met say there's plenty of blame to go around.
I think both sides need to take a step back and say certain things are no longer acceptable to say and to do.
Last night, the president named one of his main targets as a culprit.
The media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility.
Stocks suffered one of their worst days of the year yesterday, the Dow dropping more than 600 points to wipe out all of this year's gains. The NASDAQ now in correction territory. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Investors are starting to worry that global growth is slowing down. They're seeing some signs in China. There's uncertainty around the U.S.-China trade dispute, corporate profitability in the future. And as that's all going on, we know that the Federal Reserve intends on raising interest rates.
Putting your cell phone down is hard to do, even when you're the president. There are worries it might be endangering national security. Here's CBS's Gary Nan.
Foreign spies, especially those in China and Russia, reportedly eavesdrop on calls made by the president on his unsecure cell phones, which he refuses to give up. The New York Times reports that Beijing is using tidbits of information to try to influence U.S. policy on issues such as the trade war between the two countries. Mr. Trump is said to phone friends, complain, or solicit opinion on how he's doing, avoiding the White House switchboard, which logs all calls.
Tweeting this morning, Mr. Trump says he only uses government phones and has seldom used a government cell phone. It's the strongest storm to ever hit U.S. soil. Super Typhoon U2 and its 178-mile-an-hour winds have wreaked havoc in Guam. On the tiny island of Tinian, the mayor says homes, roads, and ports are destroyed. CIA Director Gina Haspel will brief President Trump today on her fact-finding trip to Turkey. The Washington Post says that while she was there, she listened to an audio tape of the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. This week, the president called it the worst cover-up ever. Saudi's crown prince continues to deny any direct involvement. Boston is on a roll.
Sinking fast, it gets down for a base hit. Mookie scores. Here comes Benny. He scores, too.
The call on Red Sox radio as the Sox beat the Dodgers 4-2 to take a two-game lead in the World Series. The action shifts to L.A. tomorrow night. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.